I'm going to be preaching from Matthew chapter 7 this morning, verse 28. While you're looking for that, Pastor is in Idaho this morning, visiting our church in our Grace International Church in Grangeville. And so I would ask that you would pray for traveling mercies for him and also for the church in Grangeville. They're doing well. We still don't have a senior pastor for them yet, but the church is doing well. The associate there, Keith and Alita, are leading the church in an excellent, excellent way. You would be proud of them. And Pastor is encouraging that body this morning. So please be in prayer with him as he travels home, especially. Also, if you did bring an offering today, the offering boxes are here and out in the foyer. And we just we want to take a moment to thank you for your faithfulness in your giving and believing in the provision of the Lord. We haven't asked this question in a really, really long time, and I want to ask it right now. How many of you this morning, maybe in the building or maybe even watching on our live stream today, how many of you could raise your hand and say, God has provided for me in the area of my finances one time in my life? Anybody out there that could say that? Yeah. If you live stream people could see us, you would see every hand in the building raising up because he is the God of faithful provision in every area of life. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. So having said that, I also want to say that today is an exciting day for many of you with kids, because we have started our children's ministry and our nursery today. And I don't know if they can hear us at all, but I would like to just give a big shout and hallelujah and a thank you to all of those who are serving in that capacity today. And I guess it should go with some degree of note that the donuts and coffee were back today also. And so there's a few of you that are pretty excited about that. To the matter at hand, would you stand with me this morning, please, as I read the word of the Lord in our text for the message today? Matthew chapter 7, verses 28 and 29 says this: When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority. He taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Would you pray with me today? Jesus, we love you and we are so thankful for this day that you have made. We will rejoice and we will be glad in it. We have come now to study your word and to learn from it, and ask that you would help us to hear what you are speaking to us today. Give us ears to hear that word. As our ears hear it, would you please help our mind to comprehend it in a way that we can apply it to our lives right now where we are in this very moment. As we hear and apply that word, may it sink to the depths of our soul and find good soil so that word could be planted in us, and that word would grow and bring life to us and life to those around us. Lastly, this morning, I pray, God, that you would give us courage. Courage to be the people you've asked us to be, and courage to do what you've asked us to do. We thank you, God, that you can and will do those things that we have asked today by the power of your Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Can somebody say amen with me this morning? Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. You may be seated today. Thank you for standing while we read the word of God together. I would like to share a message with you this morning entitled Unshakable Authority. Unshakable authority. I want to bounce back a few verses to Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 is going to say some very familiar words to those of us who have been either raised in church or in church for any amount of time. It says, "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock." Hallelujah. "But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew against him, beat down that house, and it fell with a great crash." It goes on to say this. I'll read it again, our text. When Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. And so the Sermon on the Mount ends. The famous Sermon on the Mount, those Beatitudes, blessed are those who, blessed are you who, blessed are those that. This sermon, this discourse on the Mount of Olives will end with these words of Jesus. They were amazed at his teaching because he taught as one having authority and not as the teachers crowd of the law. Matthew chapters 5 through 7 record the words of Jesus as he would teach those crowds. He would teach things never taught before. He would speak things never heard before. He would teach on things that were never taught on before. His take on old, passed down traditional teachings would quite literally flip the script on anyone who paid at least a little attention to what he said on that day. He would speak, quote, as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. Most would be amazed, including his disciples. Others would remain skeptical, including the religious leaders. Yet the crowds would grow, and the buzz would get louder, and the people would begin to swell around this teacher named Jesus, and they would follow him wherever he went. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 says, when he came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him everywhere he went. I'd like to take just a minute this morning, and before we break down Matthew chapter 7, verse 28 and 29, we're going to look at a couple of words there that are very important to the message today and their original meaning and how that applies to us. But before we get there, I want to give you a little backstory. The backstory is, and this is, please don't misunderstand me, this is not a pity party by any stretch of the imagination. What this is a little bit of insight into the fact that the devil did not want you to hear this message today. That's what it is. On Monday of last week, I was getting ready. I took off my house sandals. I went to put on my shoe, and this 46-year-old man got stuck bent over. My back on the left side just screamed at me, "You old idiot, what are you doing trying to put on your shoes?" And I was stuck. There was such intense pain on my left side that I could not stand up. You can laugh. It's hilarious. I couldn't move. I pried myself up, slowly stood myself up, feeling older than I think I ever have in my entire life. And I just had to stand there and catch my breath. Anybody want to admit to my level of terribleness that you can relate at all? And my back just was throbbing. And it didn't stop all day long. I did get my shoes on, thankfully, and I did run the errands I needed to run, and I was able to do the things that I needed to do throughout the week. So fast forward now to Thursday. I'm feeling a little bit better each and every day. And Thursday, we're working on the kids' room and the kids' space, and we had a desk in there that was a behemoth of a desk. I don't even know why they made desks so big, but they did, and we had one because at some point it was a really good idea to have it. And we probably had 15 dudes that helped us carry it in the building. Well, we were able to get rid of it. And so we asked for a few guys to show up, and they showed up with a truck and one person. Oh, sweet Jesus. So Dad and I put that thing on its side, put it on the piano dolly, and rolled it outside. And then the three of us decided to load that up in a truck. And I put myself in a really stupid position between the desk and the cab of the truck as we tried to maneuver that thing backwards. And so dumb Eddie decides to lift that end by himself, and I got stuck again. And my back has been throbbing since Thursday. Literally, I've been able to get about an hour of sleep at a time before I have to move, and it's just been extremely painful. At about the same time, God drops this word on my heart. And I know it's the message that needs to be preached today. Dad was going to change his plans to stay here. Sharina was ready just in case. But there was something churning inside of me that said, God, I just need your strength for the day because this is the word for this hour, at this time, and for this moment. Let me just encourage you today. You are not here by accident. You are here to receive the word of the Lord. Not because I'm happened to be preaching today, simply because God has a moment in time carved out for us to receive a word from him that we can walk with and run with in this day and this hour that we live in. And so I come back now to Matthew chapter 27, verses 28 and 29. And am I faking it like I can make it? I hope I am, because here is the message today. Verse 28 says, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at this teaching. Let me tell you what that word amazed in the Greek means. That word amazed is a Greek word that is ekpleso. That word ekpleso means amaze, astound, or to be astonished. With the definition of that word in the Greek, it also describes being astounded to the point of being overwhelmed by what you're seeing or hearing. And so very literally, we could say in verse 28, heard him when Jesus had finished saying chapters 5 through 7, the Sermon on the Mount, when he finished all of that, the people who heard him were overwhelmed with amazement at what they just heard. They were astonished with a weight of the words that Jesus spoke to them because they were words that they had never heard before. Ekpleso, to be astounded, to be amazed, to be overwhelmed with amazement. And while so many were willing to reap the immediate benefits of Jesus, the healing, the casting out of demons, the forgiveness of sin, all of those things that Jesus did, while so many were willing to reap the immediate benefits of Jesus, many would never own up to the cost of following him because their amazement stopped at a certain level. They might have been overwhelmed with their amazement, but they could not own up to the cost of following Jesus. They couldn't own up to the cost of believing in him. They could not own up to the cost of declaring that he was the Messiah, the Son of the living God, as Peter did in Matthew 16, verse 16, where he would say, Jesus would say, who do you say that I am? And Jesus, empowered by the Holy Ghost, would say, you are the Son of the living God. You are the Messiah. You are the Christ. Very few people got to that point of declaration because their amazement stopped at the cost of following Jesus. Their astonishment, although overwhelming, stopped at the cost of following Jesus. Matthew Henry would say it this way in his commentary, that many would be astonished by him, but many would not allow themselves to be sanctified by him because their amazement stopped at the cost of following and being sanctified by Jesus. I would state this morning, it's one thing to recognize the authority of Jesus because that's what they recognized. It's one thing to recognize the authority of Jesus. It's another thing altogether to be submitted to the authority of Jesus. It's one thing to be amazed at the authority of Jesus. It's another thing altogether to be submitted to the cost of following Jesus and picking up our cross daily and saying, Jesus, I believe in you and I will follow you no matter where you go, no matter what that means to me. You are not just my Savior, you are my Lord, and you call the shots. There's a big difference between recognizing the authority of Jesus and submitting to it, which brings us to verse chapter 29. This word authority, Verse 29 says, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. I think this verse is absolutely astounding. It is absolutely astounding. That word authority, the title of the message today, the title of the message today is Unshakable Authority. And we're hovering, we're circling, we're orbiting around this word called authority this morning. Authority in the Greek is a word that you pronounce exousia, exousia. And this word means authority. That's how it's translated here in verse 29. It means power. It means authority to rule. It means power to act. It means control over. And it means dominion. And I could spend about 20 more seconds telling you other words that this thing means, but they all revolve around what I have just said. And in some cases, it even carries with it a military context. To control a region, to control an area, as a prince or principality would place their demand on a region or an area. So this word authority is very large in its context, and everything that you can think about pretty much right now in terms of authority applies to this verse. Jesus taught as one who had authority, exousia. Jesus taught as one who had power. Jesus taught as one who had the authority to rule. He taught as one who had the power to act on behalf of his hearers. He had the authority. He taught as one who had control over every prince and principality of the enemy. He taught as one who had dominion over heaven and earth, which is his region and beyond. He taught with that kind of authority. And it was that authority that caused his hearers to go, oh my goodness, why don't our dudes teach like that? I don't know. If there was a scribe in that crowd, I would have loved to have seen some Hebrew Jewish dude go, dude, why don't you talk like that? Why don't you teach like that? I heard you last week. Marginal at best, bro. That right there, that's the authority of Jesus. That's an authoritative word I have never heard before. That's a powerful word that I have never heard spoken before. What a powerful concept wrapped up in this verse. The use of these two words in verses 28 and 29, amazed and authority, is absolutely amazing to me because it speaks to the larger picture of what's being painted. Let me explain. When Jesus had finished speaking, the crowds were amazed. We've established that already. They were astounded. They were astonished. They were overwhelmed. To that very point, like I just said, of being overwhelmed, they had never heard anything like it before. The teaching that spoke straight to the heart, straight to their need, straight to the things that perhaps they had never told anyone else. They were straight up jaw-dropped, wowed by this guy named Jesus. And why? Because Jesus taught as one who had authority and not as the comparison, not as the teachers of the law. Think on that for a minute. I'm going to say that sentence really slow because that's what I did last night when I was pulling the final touches to this together. He spoke as one who had authority. Here comes the comparison. And not as their teachers of the law. Jesus spoke with an authority that the scribes and Pharisees did not have. He taught with an authority that was not connected to human traditions or human laws or human practices. The words of Jesus carried a weight they had never experienced before. The teaching of Jesus carried power that they had never felt before. And it floored them and caused them to make that comparison that I just explained. Listen now. In that day, those people were used to hearing teaching from their synagogues that was connected to a previous rabbi's authority and teaching. That's how the game was played. A rabbi better than you, smarter than you, more experienced than you, and a better speaker than you was the one who gave you the authority to speak in his name. Circle back on that real quick. Do you want to hear that one again? A rabbi that was better than you, smarter than you, and a better speaker than you gave you the authority to speak in his name in the synagogue as you taught the people. Let that sink in for just a second. Those scribes and Pharisees taught only out of the authority of the men who came before them. They expounded on traditions and laws and ceremonies and only on the authority of other religious leaders of the day. Jesus, on the other hand, it might go without saying, but it's in my notes, so I'm going to say it. Jesus, on the other hand, had zero concern with the authority of those religious leaders. Jesus had zero concern with the authority of the scribes and the Pharisees. Jesus would cite in his teaching no human authority, and he would not seek their permission to share the kingdom principles of God. He didn't seek their authority. He didn't stand on the rabbi's authority. He didn't need a written permission slip from the leading rabbi or the chief priest. He spoke on his own authority, which was an authority rooted on God himself, the creator of heaven and earth. Jesus didn't need a Pharisee's approval. Jesus didn't need prior authorization from the head Pharisee. Jesus spoke on his own authority, and that authority was connected straight to God. Straight to God. It's no wonder the people responded the way that they did, because something happens when you hear the authoritative voice of Jesus Christ. Something happens when you hear the authoritative voice of Jesus Christ. Look at this. Grab your Bibles. We're going to go pretty quick through it. You ready? Look at this sequence. After the Sermon on the Mount ends, and we read, the crowds were amazed because Jesus taught with authority that they had never experienced before. Look at the sequence of events. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1. Jesus will heal a man with leprosy. The man with leprosy will come to him and ask if Jesus is willing to save him. Jesus says, I am willing, and heals that man. He spoke a word and that man was healed. He spoke the authoritative voice of heaven and that man was cured of his leprosy immediately. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5, a Roman centurion pleads for the life of his dying servant. Look at this with me. Catch this. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 8, it says that the centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word and my servant will be healed. It goes on to say that this centurion says, I know what authority looks like. I say to that man, go, and he goes. I say to this man, come, and he comes. I say to this man, do what I say, you do what I say, and it is done. That is the authority that I have. But Jesus, Lord, I recognize authority in you that I do not have. And I recognize that there is an authority that you have that would allow you to speak a word in this moment. And I know my servant would be healed if you chose to do so. That Roman centurion made a declaration based on his faith in Jesus Christ. He said, just say the word and my servant will be healed. And as he made that declaration, there was an expectation that fueled it. And the expectation was, I know what authority looks like, and your authority is different. I don't need my authority. I need your authority, because it comes from a place that I don't recognize. And Jesus spoke a word. He told that centurion, go, it will be done. And his servant was healed in that very hour. Matthew chapter 8, verse 14, Peter's mother-in-law, his disciples, Peter's mother-in-law, is healed with just a touch. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, he drove out the spirits with a word, just a word. He drove out the spirits and he healed the sick. In Matthew 8, 26, with a word, he rebukes the winds and the waves, and they must be subject to his voice and his command, because something happens when God speaks a word. When God delivers a word, something has to happen. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 28, two demon-possessed men, hurting, broken, cast away from society in the region of the Gadarenes, meets Jesus and his disciples as they come ashore on that boat. The spirits inside of them recognize Jesus and say, "What are you doing here? Why are you, if you're going to cast us out, cast us into the pigs." The text says that Jesus said one word. He looked at those demons. He looked at the legions of demons in those men, and he said, "Go." And they went. And they went into those pigs and they cast themselves into the sea. Something happens when God speaks a word. A singular word. A phrase. There is an authority that carries that word. I have one point this morning. I'm going to ask you to hang with me. I have one point this morning. And it's this. If you remember nothing about what I've said today, please just remember this. His unshakable authority. Please remember that. Amen. Only one point. And that point is his unshakable authority. I want you to know today that God's authority has not been shaken. Sitting at my desk last night, and I wrote that point down, and then I wrote that sentence down, and in my office I began to weep before the Lord for a couple of reasons. One, because I needed to read what I wrote. Two, because I knew it was the word that God wanted to speak to us today, and it was a confirming moment that every person that would choose to be in this house or see the live stream needed to hear about God's unshakable authority. It is a right now word and a right now moment. The word of God calls that a rhema word. And the rhema word for today is God's authority has not been shaken. The same authority that he spoke with on the Mount of Olives in the Sermon on the Mount is the same authority that he speaks to us today. His authority has never changed. It cannot change. It will not change. And it will not be shaken. It cannot be shaken. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 28 says, we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 21 through 23 says that Jesus has been seated far above all rule, far above all authority, power, and dominion, and far above every title that can be given, not only in this present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. His authority is unshakable and his word is true. His authority is unshakable and his word is true. Sharina, Jimmy, Abby, if you could make your way back up, please. Kristen, go ahead and, if you're still up there, Kristen, go ahead and throw up that graphic. We'll go ahead and use it. I used this quote about 5 weeks ago when I preached, and I chose to use it again. With the wisdom of A.W. Tozer, he penned the words, "While it looks like things are out of control, behind the scenes there is a God who has not surrendered authority." Would you just read it and let that sink into your spirit for a minute? Just read it and let it sink into your spirit for a minute. Everything that Scripture has taught us points to this. Points to this. That behind the scenes, there is a God who has not surrendered his authority. Amen. We're going to end today with a song that I asked them to sing. It's likely I will be a mess. I invite you not to just listen to it, but please read the lyrics, and as soon as you can, join them in singing the song. The song's title is Authority. When the song comes to a place of ending, I'll come back up at that point and close us out in prayer. Until then, what word is God speaking to you today? What promise has God delivered straight to your spirit or straight to your heart today? Everything changes when God speaks a word. Everything changes when God speaks a word. The chorus of this song will say, just one word, and things change. Go ahead, guys, get us where we need to go. Hallelujah. Ask God to speak to you in this moment.
And cower at his rule. Rick, my God, is is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. For heaven not prevail, and strongholds not be moved, will spirits not be silenced, and cower at his rule? For if my God is for me, then what have I to fear? And I will not deny him the glory that is his. Heaven will prevail, and strongholds will be moved, spirits will be silenced, and cower at his rule. I know my God is for me, so what have I to fear? Nothing will deny him the glory that is his.
This morning, stand with me. Sing this out.
In one word, from you, things change on your authority.
One word. One word is all it takes for things to change on the authority of Jesus of Nazareth, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One word. One word. One word over whatever you're praying about. One word over whatever you're stressing about. One word over the thoughts occupying your mind. One word over the struggle or the bad memory or the addiction. One word and things change on the authority of Jesus Christ. I can't tell you what your one word is, but I'm going to believe by faith that God's going to speak it to you. And is his time, according to his will, that authority will change whatever it is you're praying about. And so, God, we come this morning with faith believing. We don't want to just be amazed at your word and stop at the cost of following Jesus. We want the amazement of your word to sanctify us and make us hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because we want to be submitted to the authority of your word. And so, God, I pray that you would speak the word to us today. Speak the word, whatever it is, on every level, to every person. On the authority that you have, speak the word. And give us the discernment to say yes and amen to that word. Thank you, Jesus, for today. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you for the strength and the gathering of your people. Help us now to follow you in obedience, to hunger and thirst for righteousness, and to listen for the authoritative word of God in Jesus' name. Somebody get a little excited with me and say amen. Clap to the Lord this morning. I love you lots, and I'm really glad you came today. If you've got kids in kids ministry or nursery, make sure you make a beeline to get them, because they're going to hate me on day one already. I love you lots. Thanks for coming to church. Be dismissed with the blessing of the Lord. Say hi to somebody on the way out. Have a great Sunday and a great week. You're dismissed.
know my God is for me. So what am I?